VCY America presents Crosstalk, a nationwide call-in program discussing issues that have an effect on our families, our communities, our churches, our nation, and our world. Crosstalk, an opportunity for you to voice your concerns for biblical principles. And now live by satellite and around the world on the internet at vcyamerica.org. Here is today's Crosstalk.
Thank you for joining us on Crosstalk here on VCY America. It's a Friday news roundup and comment program today, and we're grateful that you've joined us. Most often as we can on Fridays, we like to have this roundup and some comments as well, because there is much that transpires every single week during our Crosstalk week, and we are not able to get to many, many issues, but there is much that is taking place. Certainly, these programs are meant to do more than just turn your stomach. They are meant to inform, to challenge us, sometimes to wake us up to where we are in our culture today, to stir us to pray for this nation, to help us to underscore the need for revival across our land. And friends, that happens in the hearts of believers and in local churches across this land. And certainly we are called upon to be light. We are called upon to be salt. Let's going to start our time together here with a story from CBN News. Israeli and U.S. leaders reacted to what some are calling an unprecedented call by Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer for new elections in Israel. Schumer wants elections so Israelis can replace the government of Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu. Schumer yesterday on the Senate floor called for a change in Israel's government because he believes Netanyahu has lost his way. He said by allowing his political survival to take precedence over the best interest of Israel, the Netanyahu coalition no longer fits the needs of Israel after October 7th. The world has changed radically since then, he said. Well, friends, what has Netanyahu been doing? The prime minister has been saying this will never happen again, and he's going to continue to marshal his forces to eradicate the Jew-hating Hamas. Schumer said Israel cannot survive if it becomes a pariah. Netanyahu responded in a statement saying Israel expects Schumer to refrain from undermining the Israeli government. Israel's ambassador to the U.S., Michael Herzog, posted on X, quote, Israel is a sovereign country. It is unhelpful, all the more so as Israel is at war against the genocidal terror of organization Hamas, to comment on the political scene of a democratic ally. Former Israeli Prime Minister Naftali Bennett said of Schumer's comments, quote, we are an independent nation, not a banana republic. Moments after the speech, House Speaker Mike Johnson slammed Schumer, saying it's just plain wrong for an American leader to play such a divisive role in Israeli politics while our closest ally in the region is an existential battle for its very survival. Several Senate Republican leaders also criticized the comments. Lindsey Graham saying it's earth-shattering bad. You've done a lot of damage, my friend, and you need to fix this. Senator Tom Cotton responded with a biblical analogy, saying Chuck Schumer should remove the log in his own party's eye before he whines about the speck in Israel's eye. And then we also have the top Republican in the Senate, Mitch McConnell, delivered a sharp retort to Chuck Schumer yesterday. Here's what he had to say in part yesterday on the Senate floor.
The Jewish state of Israel deserves an ally that acts like one. People of Israel, at home and in captivity, deserve America's support. And Israel's unity government and security cabinet deserve the deference befitting a sovereign democratic country.
From CBN News, the Israeli Defense Forces aided an international nonprofit organization in evacuating nearly 70 orphans from Gaza and transfer them to safety in Bethlehem in the biblical region of Judea and Samaria. The IDF carried out the unusual operation Monday with the approval of the National Security Council. According to several reports, the children, along with the 11 staff members and their families, are from the charity group SOS Children's Villages International. From hot air, the Israeli cabinet, they did convene earlier today and discuss the response of Hamas. Basically, Hamas is shifting their demands in a new hostage swap offer. So away with the thought of having a a full withdrawal before any hostage is released. But right now they're saying women would be released in a full withdrawal. Also still a 1 in 10 ratio of hostages to Palestinian prisoners in Israel and nearly a 1 to 1 ratio for those serving life sentences for murder. Waiting to see the official response from Israel at this time. From the Free Beacon, the Biden administration poised to issue a fresh sanctions waiver for Iran. Friends, this is insane. Giving a sanctions waiver for Iran that will grant the country access to upward of $10 billion in frozen assets, providing Tehran with a financial lifeline as it foments terrorism across the Middle East. That's according to a group of GOP lawmakers. Richard Goldberg, a former member of the White House National Security Council who worked on the Iran portfolio, said the Biden administration's decision to renew the waivers subsidized October 7th, as well as the murder of three American soldiers in Jordan. It's subsidizing daily attacks in the U.S. Navy in the Red Sea. It's subsidizing drones and missiles sent to Russian President Vladimir Putin. It's subsidizing the abuse of Iranian women, said Goldberg. Congress can't stop the money flow. The Senate is sitting on a House-passed bill that would freeze the money, lock it down immediately. But if Senate Republicans won't fight for it, Biden will keep subsidizing the mullahs all the way through November. Can you believe unlocking this $10 billion in frozen assets for Iran to have access to this? Worthy News is reporting, with all of his influential critics dead, jailed, or in exile, Russian President Vladimir Putin was due to win a controversial presidential contest, cementing his role as the nation's longest-running leader since the dictator Joseph Stalin. Russia began casting ballots today in an election set to prolong Putin's presidency by 6 more years, despite him waging a war against Ukraine, and that is believed to have killed and injured hundreds of thousands. The Telegraph is reporting that leaked Kremlin documents have shown that it wants Putin to win 80% of the vote on a high turnout and to prove that Russians support his war in Ukraine. And to do this, analysts said it has built a vote-fixing toolkit. Authorities use various items from their menu of manipulation to secure the results they want, said Ben Noble, associate professor of Russian studies at UCL. Techniques can be split into three categories: candidate fixing, voter fixing, and result fixing. Boy, some of these sound kind of familiar, don't they? The first category involves whittling down the candidate to a Kremlin-approved list, of course, with headed up by Putin. Then the Kremlin has ordered a polling stations to stay open for 3 days from Friday and mixed its favored technique of ordering millions of state workers to the polls with a tech-based electronic voting solution. Now voters are obliged to register at their polling stations using their passports and tell a website built by United Russia, Putin's political party, that they have voted. The Kremlin also views electronic voting as vital for boosting turnout. Vote monitoring groups have said the electronic voting is easy to manipulate and is now a vital pillar of the Kremlin's third voting manipulation strategy that is fiddling the result. Reports from regional polling stations have already said that observers are telling people, the people at the polling stations are telling people, vote for Putin. From American Military News, Ukrainian drone attacks halted three oil refineries deep within the Russian territory in an assault President Putin said was aimed at disrupting the presidential elections. An aerial strike Wednesday caused a blaze at one of the country's biggest crude processing facilities. Other smaller ones have also been attacked. Three facilities hit by Ukrainian drones in the past 2 days account for about 12% of Russia's oil processing capacity. From the Christian Post, drone attack in Odessa, Ukraine, resulted in the tragic deaths of 12 individuals, including a Baptist pastor's daughter and grandson. The attack, which targeted a residential building, also left 20 others injured. The drone's impact was devastating. Among the victims were Anna, the daughter of Pastor Nikolai Sedek of an independent Baptist church, and her infant son, Timothy. Anna's husband and their daughter were in another room and survived the attack. The Baptist Standard said the incident took place as Anna and Timothy were sleeping. A story coming to us from USA Today. The White House Tuesday announced a $300 million military aid package for Ukraine to include ammunition, anti-aircraft missiles, and armor-piercing weapons, according to senior defense officials. Let's also look at here from Western Journal. Vladimir Putin hurled his favorite N-word at the U.S. Wednesday as he warned of limits on how much the U.S. could support Ukraine without punishment. Putin and Russian officials have regularly reminded the world since the start of the invasion that Russia launched in Ukraine that Russia has nuclear weapons and will use them if sufficiently irritated. Putin noted that Russian military doctrine spells out when nuclear weapons can be used, that is, either in response to a nuclear attack or if the existence of Russia is threatened. From Politico out of the EU, French President Emmanuel Macron will travel to Berlin today to meet German Chancellor Scholz in an effort to reduce tensions over Ukraine that have spilled out in the open in recent weeks. And we understand also the Polish prime minister is going to join them as well. Leaders intend to have this meeting as a show of unity. Well, friends, as we talk about the continued rise of Islam in the United States, you may not be aware of this, but Muslims took over Fifth Avenue in New York City on a street with prayers and protests in front of Trump Tower for Ramadan. FrontPageMag.com tells us that a Catholic diocese in Italy has just called upon priests and lay people to seek out opportunities to participate in Ramadan observances. What's this? A Catholic diocese saying to participate in Ramadan observances? They said to do it as a gesture of goodwill toward Muslims. The Catholic Herald reported that the Italian diocese of Bergamo is instructing the priests to participate in Islamic rituals, citing Pope Francis' directives on interreligious dialogue. The officials issued a directive urging priests to seek out opportunities for interreligious dialogue during the holy month of Ramadan by inviting the faithful to join in praying with Muslims and joining in the iftar ritual meal. Friends, don't you know that you're praying for the demise of Israel? Don't you know you're praying to a false god, Allah? Don't you know that it is such that you're promoting a religion that wants to see the death of Christians and Jews across this entire world? By the way, you know what today is, March 15th? Today is the U.S. Global Muslim Group International Day to Combat Islamophobia. Friday, March 15th, the Council on American Islamic Relations, the nation's largest Muslim civil rights and advocacy group, plans to unite with the coalition of more than a dozen Muslim civic organizations around the world to mark the UN's second International Day to Combat Islamophobia by issuing a joint statement highlighting key hotspots of Islamophobia around the globe. Where's the anti-Semitism group meeting? Oh, I don't see that the UN has anything like that. Well, friends, we are living in troublesome times. We are seeing, we're going to get to the matter of life here as well, and a few stories. I've got a troubling audio clip right after the break. Olivia Rodrigo, a former star actress on Disney Channel, promoting abortion access on her Guts concert tour, working with local pro-abortion groups to distribute free abortion pills. And we are also finding that Kamala Harris, the vice president of the United States, is the first time that a president or vice president has toured an abortion facility. Now, friends, we're going to take a quick break here, and we're going to talk more about that here in just 1 minute. But how despicable is this to go tour an abortion clinic? We'll be back in 1 minute. You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America.
Back to Genesis with Dr. John Morris, scientist and president of the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, does evolution ever go backwards or reverse itself?
Chris, I don't think evolution occurs at all. God created each basic category of life. They may have varied, but this is not evolution. For evolution, you have to have new genes, new traits, new body parts, not just variety of the old. Sometimes evolutionists claim that evolution reverses itself and goes backwards. For instance, some are now claiming that the chimps, which are basically tree dwellers, descended from a missing link which walked upright, therefore backwards evolution. Chris, I think this is just as wrong as evolution in general is wrong. The evidence supports the biblical truth that man and apes are separate. There's variety among both, but they did not have a common ancestor. And that's just what we read when we go back to Genesis.
Thanks, Dr. Morris. For more on creation, visit our website at www.icr.org. You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America. Friends, I could hardly believe this, but it's true. It is true. It's a first. Vice President Kamala Harris visited a Planned Parenthood abortion clinic yesterday, marking what her office said was the first time that a president or vice president had toured a facility that performs abortions. It was a visit to the St. Paul Abortion Clinic. Represents part of what Democrats believe is a winning issue for them in the November election. Minnesota has no abortion restrictions, which means babies can be aborted right up to the time of natural birth. Now, friends, can you imagine our leader of our nation making their visit to a gas chamber that was being used actively to kill Jews during the Holocaust? Oh, this is where the spigot is to turn on the gas. This is the showers that they go in. This is a place where we compile their clothes before they go in so that we can recycle them. That's really what this is, friends. Abortion kills children. This is the murdering of the innocent. And in my opinion, the president nor the vice president or any elected official should go through and be getting a tour of this facility and then applauding them for the work that they're doing. Now, keep in mind, this is the vice president had no time to tour the southern border, but plenty of time to tour Planned Parenthood? It's outrageous. And friends, I want to share something else that's outrageous. And again, I'm sharing my opinion. I know that. Illinois Democrat Governor J.B. Pritzker says he is proud of those who kill preborn babies for a living. He released a video over the weekend to celebrate what was called Abortion Provider Appreciation Day. Friends, it's outrageous. Listen in.
Today is Abortion Providers Appreciation Day. Thank you to the doctors, nurses, clinic staff, and volunteers who help those in need, treating their patients with dignity and compassion. You're on the front lines of this fight, and your sacrifices and your work make me proud.
As abortion providers, we witness the strength and resilience of our patients every day. It's an honor to stand by their side and provide the care that they deserve.
Abortion care is about respecting a person's autonomy and their right to make their own medical decisions. That's why I'm proud to provide this care.
In Illinois, we've taken profound steps to protect abortion providers and their patients from legal attacks.
Every day, we see the impact of restrictive laws and the importance of fighting for expansive abortion access. It's a fight we cannot afford to lose.
But the fight for reproductive freedom goes beyond Illinois. With Think Big America, we're going state by state and across the nation to protect a woman's right to an abortion, because no one should have to escape to another state or face legal barriers to make decisions about their own bodies.
Oh, join Think Big America. Join Think Big America.
Join us in this crucial mission. Together, we can protect reproductive freedom across the nation.
Yeah, friends, I'm so sick of this. Now, when you think about this, let's go back to that gas chamber illustration here. Telling about, gas chamber administrators, we are proud of the work that you are doing. Why should people have to go to another nation to kill the Jews? Why? Just do it here. We're here to support you. And we're going to take this movement all over the place. See, friends, that's what it does. It is killing the innocent. It is killing innocent individuals. It's murdering them. And it turns my stomach to know that the vice president of the United States of America, and here we have the governor of the state of Illinois, telling abortionists he's proud of their work. The prophet Isaiah has said, "Woe to those who call evil good and good evil. You know, who turned darkness for light and light for darkness, bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter." Friends, that's right where we're at. And this nation is being gaslit. It's being gaslit with statements like these. The Blaze Media is telling us that Planned Parenthood entered into a biological material transfer agreement with the University of California, San Diego, whereby Planned Parenthood would transfer human body parts in exchange for intellectual property rights over patents resulting from subsequent experiments, according to a report from the Center for Medical Progress. This is a pro-life activist organization. David DeLane founded it, said it obtained documents through the public records request. According to the agreement, the regional abortion outfit, then called the Planned Parenthood of San Diego and Riverside Counties, would provide certain proprietary biological materials to investigators at the university for the purpose of deriving cell lines from and determining gene expression, genomic and epigenomic profiles of the materials. The proprietary biological materials are clearly defined in the agreement as fetal and placental tissue, otherwise, friends, known as human baby parts. From LifeNews.com, yesterday, actually it would have been the day before yesterday, a Wisconsin Right to Life, Wisconsin Family Action, Pro-Life Wisconsin filed together to block the Attorney General Josh Call's pursuit to find a right to abortion in the Wisconsin Constitution. They're petitioning the Wisconsin Supreme Court to accept them as interveners and as being represented by the Wisconsin Institute for Law and Liberty and the Thomas More Society. That's what they're trying to do in Wisconsin right now, is to somehow create a right, find some right. I don't know if they are going to use the governor's kind of veto of the Constitution to take one letter from this sentence, one letter from that one to spell out abortion. Because, friends, it's just not there. It's just not there in the Wisconsin Constitution. LifeNews.com tells us President Joe Biden's 2025 budget for the fiscal year of 2025 proposed once again calls for eliminating the Hyde Amendment that has protected unborn babies and their mothers for over 40 years by ensuring that federal tax dollars don't fund elective abortion. It also calls for eliminating the Dornan Amendment. That's the D.C. Hyde Amendment. Just the News tells us the Oklahoma House of Representatives passed a bill yesterday that would make the distributing abortion pills a felony, punishable by up to $100,000 or 10 years in prison or both. It does not restrict Plan B or the morning after pill, clarifies it does not prohibit the use or sale of contraceptives, including birth control pills, but if signed into law, anyone who distributes or possesses with the intent to distribute abortion-inducing drugs would be guilty of a felony. The penalty would be equal to the penalty under existing law for performing an illegal abortion. Let's hit another issue here, friends. And this is the president of the World Bank. Now, we've talked to you about the digital dollar and central bank digital currency. Well, this is the president of the World Bank is calling on governments to launch digital identity schemes so that they can be linked with the private sector and existing infrastructures. Speaking at the World Bank Group's inaugural Global Digital Summit last week, World Bank President Ajay Banga said that digital identity should be embraced worldwide and that governments should be the owners. Digital identity should be embraced worldwide, and governments should be the owners so that they can guarantee privacy and security for the citizens. Now, doesn't that give you a warm, fuzzy feeling? Let's put the government in charge to be sure that everybody's privacy is protected, to make sure that everybody's security is protected as well. Friends, I'd like you to hear what the World Bank president had to say.
Providing infrastructure.
I'm going to start that clip over again. We missed the first few words.
I think providing infrastructure is a core element. But on top of that, creating a digital identity platform for citizenry is kind of foundational. Because, and I believe your government should be the owner of your digital ID.
Yes, he
and
I absolutely, both 100%.
Private line. Companies should not no. own that. It is the social contract of a citizen with their country
yes.
to have an identity, a currency, and safety. You should not take that away from them. They should have the digital identity. That digital identity should guarantee the privacy of that citizen. It should help them with their security, but the government should give the identity.
Yeah.
Once you do that, then connecting them to the infrastructure that a private company, whether Ericsson or Verizon or combinations of them, in fact, mostly it's a combination, can build, then the question is, what do you do with it? That requires that digital ID so you can start connecting with that citizen. Now the question is, when you connect with that citizen, you must ensure that governments guarantee the privacy of that citizen. Because if you don't do that, you will run into trouble with the acceptance of the idea. So if you want this to be embraced around the world, yes, get the infrastructure, get a digital ID. That's what we used to talk about at the even earlier.
Yeah.
Get that going and then move from there.
Yeah, and based on that, you can get the financially included, you can get insurance, you can start a business. Everything is built on
SME credit. Everything flows from there.
Yeah.
Everything flows from there. You get your digital identity that will come from the government. You have to guarantee privacy and security, otherwise people won't want it. So that's the launching point. We have to convince people this is for your best interest, for your best protection, and this is going to open the gateway for your education, for your work, for your sustaining of your life. Friends, do you have warning flags that are flying above your head right now? LibertySentinel.org, Alex Newman writes an article telling about the Brazilian president, Da Silva, and his allies in the judicial branch have turned Brazil into a dictatorship that is persecuting dissidents, political leaders, and journalists while violating basic human rights. A coalition of Brazilian lawmakers and journalists said in Washington on March 12th, U.S. lawmakers expressed grave concerns about the developments as well. Representative Chris Smith vowing to introduce legislation to address the issues raised by the Brazilian delegation. Documented or credibly reported rights violations in Brazil include the political abuse of legal procedures to persecute political opposition. Wow. Is that U.S. or no? I guess this is Brazil. Persecute political opposition, including jailing opposition figures on spurious charges, Mr. Smith warned. Other abuses include violations of freedom of speech and media freedom, including persecution of journalists, the silencing of opposing media, the banning of individuals from social media, and thinly veiled censorship laws claiming to fight so-called disinformation. Friends, let's put a mirror up to what's going on in the United States of America. Tragic news, Jihad Watch has it, 287 Nigerian kids, ages 5 to 12, kidnapped from their school by an Islamist Fulani militia in the state of Kaduna. That coming to us, tragedy with Nigeria. Friends, this is not the first time this has happened in this nation. From the Federalist, in her memoir, former Representative Liz Cheney falsely framed former President Donald Trump as the mastermind of the January 6, 2021 Capitol riot, with claims that the commander-in-chief resisted calls to deploy the National Guard. The Federalist exclusively reported that the vice chair of the since disbanded Select Committee on January 6 even suppressed evidence showing Trump actually pushed for more troops. The Trump administration did recognize the risk of mayhem and actively sought to deploy 10,000 National Guard troops to reinforce D.C. police. Cheney just covered it up. Last week, Federalist Editor-in-Chief Molly Hemingway reported that Cheney's committee concealed testimony from former White House Deputy Chief of Staff Antonio Ornato. He also testified President Trump had suggested 10,000 would be needed to keep the peace at the public rallies and protests scheduled for January 6, 2021, Hemingway reported. By the way, if somebody is trying to commit insurrection, do you think that they would be suggesting that and call up 10,000 National Guard members? Ornato also described White House frustration with Acting Secretary of Defense Christopher Miller's slow deployment of assistance on the afternoon of January 6, 2021. So here we're finding in the from the Federalist Cheney covering up the J6 National Guard push. Epoch Times also telling us that the CIA deployed two bomb technicians to assist with a pipe bomb found at the DNC headquarters in D.C. on January 6th that were several CIA dog teams on standby, according to records obtained by Judicial Watch. Among the 88 pages heavily redacted is a group of text messages that includes two references to CIA assets in use on or standby January 6, 2021. More news roundup after the break. You're listening to Crosstalk.
Mormonism has been increasing its profile across the United States. Author Ron Rhodes says, although claiming to be Christians, Mormons depart from historical Christianity on a number of essential doctrines. In his book, The 10 Most Important Things You Can Say to a Mormon, Ron Rhodes provides fact-filled, easy-to-understand, and essential information to effectively witness biblical truths to people led astray by this false teaching. In this book, you'll discover tools you need to effectively talk to Mormons about their faith and guide them to the biblical God, the biblical Jesus, and the biblical gospel. You'll understand the Mormons' view of the Bible, the origin of the Book of Mormon, the consequences of not acknowledging the Trinity, and the inadequacy of a gospel of works.
The 10 Most Important Things You Can Say to a Mormon is available for a donation of $15 or more to VCY America. Call 1-800-729-9829. 1-800-729-9829.
Friends, we've got a news roundup day here today. I need another hour or two to get through all the stories. We'll try and get to a number of them, though, to keep you informed. By the way, if you are in southeast Wisconsin area tomorrow, we're looking forward to an event at the Waukesha Expo. Mike Gendron will be with us from Proclaiming the Gospel Ministry, speaking on a topic tomorrow evening, Discerning Truth in an Age of Deception. Admission is free. We will be broadcasting this over the network to stations interested, but it is going. If you're in southeast Wisconsin, we welcome you all to the Waukesha Expo. The event starts at 6 p.m. Doors open at 5, a free will offering to be taken, but come here, Mike Gendron. He's been on Crosstalk many times, Discerning Truth in an Age of Deception. From Newsmax.com, President Biden on Monday unveiled a $7.3 trillion spending wish list that is much an election year pitch to voters. Been widely reported he wants to raise $5.5 trillion in tax on corporations and high earners during the next decade. And boy, he's not alone. Very interesting. Yesterday, the Senate Committee on Health, Education, Labor, and Pensions that is chaired by Senator Bernie Sanders. This is from the Western Journal. Senator Bernie Sanders chairs this. They had a hearing on a proposal to have the standard work week lowered to 32 hours with no loss of pay. Now, doesn't that sound like a good deal? No loss of pay. You only required to work 32 hours instead of 40 for those hours, according to Fox Business. Sanders said that European nations have lowered their work week and it's time for America to do the same. Well, a Fox reporter caught up with Bernie Sanders and just like you to hear the exchange that took place there.
Can I talk to you about the 32-hour work week? Yeah. It seems like Fox Business. Yeah. It seems like Democrats want businesses to be taxed more, pay their workers.
Really? Is that what you think?
pay their workers.
Excuse me.
I didn't get to ask a question.
Okay, thank you.
Senator,
you want to hold it? Okay. We held a hearing on a 32-hour work week because what we have seen is that over the last 50 years, despite a huge increase in worker productivity, almost all of the new wealth has gone to the top 1%, while 60% of the people are living paycheck to paycheck. Many of our people are exhausted. We work the longest hours of any people in the industrialized world. I think it's time for a shortened work week.
Can I ask you a question about that? It seems like Democrats want businesses to be taxed more, pay their workers more, lower prices,
and now pay people not to work. You know what I would like to see?
How are businesses going to survive that? That's the question. How can businesses survive all of those proposals?
When Mr. Bezos pays an effective tax rate lower than the average worker, I think we have a real problem in our tax system. I think that billionaires have got to start paying their fair share of taxes. Thank you.
All comes down to paying your fair share, doesn't it? Top wage earners, don't they cover at least 40% of our tax base here for the United States? From Todd Starnes, President Biden told the NBC News host Jonathan Capehart that he regrets using the term illegal during the State of the Union address to describe the savage killer, the 22-year-old Georgia nursing student. Biden also misnamed Riley not once but twice during this, calling her Lincoln. Instead of Lakin, and President has yet to apologize for that, but said, I shouldn't have used the term illegal. He said, it's undocumented. Not sorry that this incident happened, but he used the wrong term. Coming from Breitbart.com, a federal judge has ordered President Biden to continue building the border wall along the United States-Mexico border with funds allocated under former President Trump. In 2019, Congress approved billions in funds to construct the wall along the southern border. On his first day in office, Biden halted all construction of the border wall. As a result, Texas and Missouri sued. Judge Drew Tipton ordered Biden then to spend the funds as allocated to build the border wall. By the way, from townhall.com, since President Joe Biden took office nearly 4 years ago, illegal immigrants residing in the U.S. have skyrocketed, with many coming from Venezuela. According to data from the U.S. Customs and Border Protection, Venezuelans illegally living in the U.S. have surpassed Mexicans for the first time on record last year. However, President Biden has only deported 1/4 of 1%. 1/4 of 1%. 335,000 illegal Venezuelan immigrants crossed the U.S.-Mexico border. Only 834 have been deported. From Newsweek.com, Florida Governor Ron DeSantis has announced the deployment of over 250 additional officers and soldiers from the Florida State Guard, Division of Emergency Management and Law Enforcement Agencies, to the state's southern coast amidst concern that political situation in Haiti could spark a new wave of illegal immigration. Haiti has been wrecked by a wave of political instability and gang violence that led to the country's president announcing his intention to resign. He is currently in Puerto Rico, been unable to return to Haiti since the trip to Kenya February 29th due to armed gangs blockading the capital's main airport. Gangs are estimated to control 80% of the Haitian capital, Port-au-Prince. The U.S. has evacuated non-essential embassy personnel, urging American nationals to leave the country. Friends, isn't this the fourth or the fifth embassy that President Biden has had to evacuate? From MSN.com, the second in command of a violent Colombian gang arrested in Texas this week. The Epoch Times tells us tens of thousands of illegal immigrants are flooding into U.S. hospitals for treatment and leaving billions in uncompensated health care costs in their wake. Want to know why your health care costs are increasing? The House committee has released a report illustrating that from the estimated $451 billion in annual costs stemming from the border crisis, a significant portion is going to paying the health care for illegal immigrants. Washington Examiner tells us New York City spending about $387 per day per migrant to provide food and shelter to the 64,800 migrants in that city. That's according to data from the NYC City Hall. Fox News reports that Mississippi's Secretary of State sent a letter to President Biden's Department of Justice asking it to stop enforcing a Biden executive order that he warns is being used to attempt to register ineligible convicts and illegal immigrants to vote. By the way, the Senate Democrats blocked a bill that would ban illegal immigrants from voting. They tried to bring that forth on the Senate floor. 51 Dems and independents voted against the legislation. From Must Read Alaska, Alaskans for Honest Elections has won the right to have its repeal of ranked choice voting on the ballot this year. We'll see what happens there. Friends, I've got to cover this story as well. This is from the Daily Signal. President Joe Biden provided information deemed not credible to federal prosecutors during an investigation that determined he knowingly retained and shared classified documents, Special Counsel Robert Hur told the House Judiciary Committee on Tuesday. There is a montage of clips from that hearing that I'd like you to hear.
My team and I conducted a thorough, independent investigation. We identified evidence that the president willfully retained classified materials after the end of his vice presidency when he was a private citizen. This evidence included an audio recorded conversation during which Mr. Biden told his ghostwriter that he had, quote, just found all the classified stuff downstairs, end quote.
Mr. Hur, classified documents were found at the Penn Biden Center?
That's correct.
They were found in President Biden's garage?
In Wilmington, Delaware, yes.
And in his basement den?
Also in the same home, yes.
In the major, in his main floor office?
Correct.
And his third floor den?
Correct.
At the University of Delaware?
Correct.
And at the Biden Institute?
Correct.
And once they got the report before it went public, did the White House try to weigh in with your investigation on elements of that report and, frankly, get the report changed?
They did request certain edits and changes to the draft report.
I did not share classified information. I did not share it. I guarantee I did not. That's not true, is it, Mr. Hur?
That is inconsistent with the findings based on the evidence in my report.
Under, like, the senile cooperator theory, isn't it frustrating that Biden continues to go out and lie about the basic facts of the report that lay out a federal criminal violation?
I mean, I object to that comment. People see he's not, nobody suggests he's senile, and that's disrespectful of senior people with any kind of memory disability. Lots of seniors have memory disability, but they're not senile, and to do such was shameful. Joe Biden is a competent, good president who knows American values. I term.
Gentleman's time has expired.
I need to go back and make sure that I take note of the word that you used, exoneration. That
Mr.
is not a word
Kerr,
that
I'm going to continue with my questions.
Part of my task as
I'm going to continue with my questions. I know that,
that
the term
that I ultimately reached related
I know that
to whether
the term,
sufficient evidence existed such that the likely
you
outcome
you exonerated
a conviction.
I know that the term willful retention has a Mr. Hurd, it's my time.
Mr. Hurd, did you completely exonerate President Biden?
That is not what my report does.
Was your report a total and complete exoneration?
That is not what the report says.
At any point in your investigation, did you have any reason to believe that President Biden lied to you?
I do address in my report one response the president gave to a question that we had posed to him that we deemed to be not credible.
Did you reach a conclusion that this man was outright innocent?
That conclusion is not reflected in my report, sir.
And oh, by the way, Mr. Herr, what did that ghostwriter do with the information Joe Biden shared with him on his laptop? What did he do after you were named special counsel?
He slid, if I remember correctly, he slid those files into his recycle bin on his computer.
Tried to destroy the evidence, didn't he?
Correct.
Wow. That's a montage of clips here from the hearing with Robert Herr. It'd be interesting to hear the entire session. Let's move on to another topic. Daily Caller telling us a DNC forming a team to help combat third party and independent candidates from keeping them off the ballots. Very interesting. As the efforts that are underway there, a matter of fact, Newsmax reports that RFK Jr. is facing challenges to get on the ballot in all 50 states, trying to raise some $15 million to obtain the necessary signature gatherers along the way. The vaccine reaction telling us the influenza vaccines currently being administered in the U.S. are estimated by the U.S. Center for Disease Control and Prevention to be 42% effective in adults. Only 42% effective. They're referring to reducing the risk of influenza-related hospitalizations or medically attended influenza virus infection, not actually preventing influenza infections. And the vaccine reaction also reporting on February 29, 2024, the U.S. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention Advisory Committee on Immunization Practices presented a preliminary analysis that showed that 23 adults over the age of 65 who received the RSV vaccine developed Guillain-Barré syndrome. When a person develops this, including after an infection or a vaccination, the body attacks the peripheral nerves. And also, there is muscle weakness, numbness, tingling, different parts of the body. Recovery can be complete, or paralysis of one or more limbs can occur, including full body paralysis, which can even lead to death. But a number of RSV vaccines for senior adults are linked to Guillain-Barré syndrome. Breitbart, those of you in New York, over 100 pizzerias could shut down in New York City due to the government's new green rule forcing shops that use coal and wood-fired stoves to cut carbon emissions by 75%. Friends, also they're finding in LifeSiteNews.com that the electric cars are polluting 1,850 times more than fuel-based vehicles. A study found that electric vehicles that have left-leaning governments in Canada, the U.S., and elsewhere are pushing on the population pollute at a rate far higher than their gasoline or diesel-powered counterparts. It's a 2022 study from the UK-based Emissions Analytics Group found during the 1,000-mile journey EVs released 1,850 times more pollutants into their surrounding environment than gas-powered vehicles. We're going to take a break. I've got more stories, but friends, let's open our phone lines. If you'd like to comment on these or other current event stories, call right now. Time is limited, 800-733-9829. Our phone number to Crosstalk today, 800-733-9829. What is your reaction to the Vice President of the United States of America taking a tour of an abortion clinic, a place where babies are killed? Your thoughts. We'll be back in a minute.
For the Worldview Report, I'm Brandon House. Our website is worldviewreport.com. On Sunday night of this week, I started a brand new study on the book of Revelation, chapter 1, study 1. You can watch and listen at worldviewtube.com. Sadly, The book of Revelation is not taught by many pastors, and I'm thankful for the ones that do. But it's not taught for many reasons. One reason is because there is a belief that God is done with the nation of Israel. It's called replacement theology. And you know, the book of Revelation, of course, gets into the tribulation, which will be used by God to get the attention of the Jews. And praise the Lord, so many are going to come to Yeshua or Messiah, become great evangelists. And the Bible says so many are coming to Christ, it's almost impossible to number them. I'm thankful for the shepherds that are teaching the book of Revelation. I hope you'll study it with us and on your own. It's more relevant now than it has ever been. I'm Brandon House.
It's a news roundup day here on Crosstalk, and this we kind of give you a glimpse into a number of stories that are going on. Could spend full programs on many of these topics here today, but to give you an overview of what is taking place across this land. Our number 800-733-9829. Let's begin with Jeff in Dallas, Texas. Jeff, you're on the air.
Good afternoon. I was just wondering, the UK study, it'd be nice to know exactly how an EV is putting out more pollutants. Is it the car itself, or is it the generation, manufacture of the car, or the power generation? And also, regarding the Catholics, maybe a good gesture for their parishioners, they can help the Muslims by taking out a few infidels.
A few Catholic infidels?
Well, you know, everybody that's not Muslim, according to the fanatical Islamists, are infidels, so... Yeah. I mean, you know, it's just, yeah. I'm being facetious.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you for the call here. Yeah. As it relates to how these cars can be more pollutant, we think of emissions from just exhaust, but tire wear plays a significant role, the story says, in emitting pollutants. Synthetic rubber used to create tires, including certain chemicals that get released in the air. And because EVs are significantly higher than conventional cars due to massive lithium batteries, their tire wear is going bonkers. The manufacturing of these batteries that are used as well. And then you've got parts, you know, what do you do with these used batteries afterwards? So it goes on and on as far as the number of issues. But yeah, it's not just what's coming through the tailpipe, but certainly what's coming through the other aspects too, like the tire wear and the batteries, the lithium and all of the emissions that are generated by getting these rare earth materials as well. Marvin in Kentucky, thanks for calling Crosstalk. You're on the air.
Yes, sir. I think I may be wrong, but I think myself that many Americans have lost faith in our government officials, and the Democrats should all be tried for treason because they're destroying our country. God bless you for the service that you give to the United States people.
Great. Thank you for listening. Let's go to Diana in Peoria, Arizona. Diana, you're on the air.
Oh, hi, Jim. Keep up the good work. I have a quote about abortion. It's really a good quote. If you are pronounced dead when your heart stops, why are you not pronounced alive when it starts?
Hmm. Yep.
So, Jim, keep up the good work. You're doing a great job. Thank you, Jim. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening. Our number to Crosstalk, 800-733-9829. That's 800-733-9829 today for Crosstalk. Taking your comments, our news roundup day here today. And much is taking place. Friends, I do want to make you aware of a story that's coming out of CBN as well. The headline just captured our attention. California parents outraged over an elementary school inviting 8-year-olds to a secret LGBT club. Parents at a California elementary school are enraged after finding out that teachers created a secret LGBTQ club that children as young as 8 could attend without their permission. Pleasant Grove Elementary School, Elk Grove, California, finding itself in hot water after parents discovered in January that a third grade teacher was allowed to personally invite 3rd through 6th grade students to an LGBTQ club that he was starting. The UBU Club was described as a club for boys who crush on boys and girls who crush on girls, but was supposed to be kept secret. That's until the son of Mary Cogden, a fourth grader, came home confused about his gender identity after hearing third grade teacher Daniel Bishop talk about same-sex attraction. I immediately reached out to the teacher, bewildered why we, the parents, had no recollection of hearing about this new club. Her response that it was because it's a safe place for students to go and discuss their sexuality without having to come out to their parents. Cogden, like other teachers, was furious, saying, I'm not sure when Mr. Bishop began paying for my son's clothes, housing, meals, when he has taken my son to the doctor's appointments, sports games, church, or tucked my son in at night. He is not the parent. I reminded my son and his younger second grade brother that night, we are your safe place. We are your parents. Outrageous, friends, to have this secret club. And when cornered on it, we have, you know, the school defending this, saying, well, this is their safe place, and they don't have to come out to their parents. Kaya in South Carolina, you're on the air.
Okay, I wanted to comment on the, you know, Chuck Schumer talking about how Benjamin Netanyahu needs to step down. Like he has no right to say that because he's not even part of the country of Israel. And you know, I'm not surprised that the Catholics, that the Pope is telling the Catholics to observe Ramadan along with the Muslims, because both Catholicism and Islam have a history of hating the Jewish people, and both of them are false religions that do not teach the Word of God. And you know, the Pope is not, you know, he thinks he's speaking for Christ, but he's speaking against Christ because of the things that he said, and you know, the what he wants to bring about, unity and one world government and all that.
Yeah. Thank you so much for the comments here today. Appreciate your calling in from South Carolina. And let's go to Wyoming. We have Derek calling in from Wyoming. Derek, you're on the air.
Yeah, a comment about abortion. I'd just like to say that abortion is the fruit of sex outside of marriage. And it was condemned in the Old Testament, and it ought to be condemned today, too.
Yeah, it ought to be condemned, taking the innocent life. But it's evening happening. It's happening even within marriage relationships as well, sadly. Thank you for the comment here today. But truly, these are troublesome times in which we live. And to me, it's outrageous that the vice president of the United States of America would go get a tour of an abortion facility. Remove the word abortion facility, where they're killing preborn babies, and let's put in the gas chambers. Let's think of Auschwitz and think about where they were gassing the Jews. And this is where we turn on the spigot here, and this is the chamber where we place nice, soothing music as the gas emits forth to put people into a peaceful rest. Friends, don't be gaslit by this that is going on. We do live in troublesome times, and friends, even as Paul told Timothy, as a result of this, hang on to your faith. Remember that faith that was found in your mother Lois and your grandmother Lois and mother Eunice as well, persuaded in thee also. But he said to Timothy that all scripture is given by inspiration of God, tells us what's right, what's not right, how to get right, and how to stay right. And he told Timothy to preach the word. Preach the word. Friends, we need to do that. We need a heart change across this nation. A heart change indeed. Thanks for listening today and all this week on Crosstalk. It's Friday. The Lord's Day is coming, and I trust you'll be in a Bible-believing, Bible-teaching local church. Thanks for listening.
You've been listening to Crosstalk via satellite and the internet from VCY America. Views expressed may or may not be those of this station. For a CD of today's program, send a donation of $6 or more to VCY Tape Ministry, 3434 West Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53208, or download by RSS or podcast from crosstalkamerica.com. And join us again for Crosstalk.